Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. December is a good time to hit some favorite Hoosier spots for holiday gifts. Many of the stores have been jammed. For people looking to get away from the madding crowd, around here you can head up to Amish country for interesting gift spots or places to go during the holidays. Further south, well, you might try Nashville, Indiana. We talked with some remarkable Brown County artists recently. We took a trip to Nashville and visited the Brown County Craft Gallery, a co-op for local artists. We also stopped by Spears Gallery and talked with Jan Spears, who owns the business with her husband Larry, a potter.
It is a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. A lot of local artist representation in here, so honestly, I'm never quite sure exactly what is going to be in here. We have about 20 different artists working here, and at least probably 90% of the work is all made locally by Brown County hands, actually. So we have pottery by Larry Spears, that's the husband, and additionally, we have Chris Gustin's work, who's one of the weavers in the county. We have Brad Cox's things, and he does some wonderful metal work. We have Sherry Platter, who is a jeweler, works with precious metal clay. And our youngest son, Kyle Spears, who is a photographer.
This is high quality work.
Thank you. I know they all work very, very hard, diligently. And you're seeing a lot of years of experience represented in here, because most of these folks have been doing what they do for many decades, actually. So they are quite well-versed at their craft, I think.
What is it about Brown County, I suppose, that has all these people here?
Oh, I think it's a combination of things, but I think it's definitely a welcoming community, and historically was an arts community, so it's very welcoming to artists and supportive. So I think that's a really big part of it, and just the natural beauty is very inspiring.
What's the reaction you get from people who come in the shop and see the things that you have?
Most of them are very excited to see locally made work, and they're very impressed with the quality of the art that's created here. Not only in this shop, but the other galleries that are around town that feature local work as well.
What advice do you have for people who want to experience Nashville?
Oh, I think you just should get lost. Get lost in town, and you'll find some wonderful treasures hidden all over this little town. Yeah, it's a fun place, eclectic and fun.
Can you talk about you and Larry's story? I think you were from Bartholomew County?
That's right, Bartholomew County originally, and then we moved to East Tennessee for about 15 years. And almost 20 years ago now, the heartstrings, it was time to come home, so to speak. So we came back here and set up our pottery out in the southern part of Brown County. We hadn't been there a week, and we had three different artists come to welcome us. So it's a good place to be.
How has Brown County, Nashville, changed in the 20 years that you've been back?
I'd say it's grown up a little bit, but it still has that homegrown, slower pace feeling, and I think it's a really good place for people to escape to.
There's kind of a community of artists here.
There's definitely a community of artists here, and they work well together, resourcing different materials, sharing different methods, and putting on different shows, you know, collectively. So, yeah. So it's a nice community to fit into.
They support each other?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they'll get together and do shows at the new History Center down the road. Oh golly, yeah, just a lot of different ways the artists support each other here.
So there's a lot of attention to online shopping, but a place like this reminds you that the importance of seeing the items physically,
I think there is a benefit, seeing the work up close firsthand versus online shopping. Each piece in here is one of a kind, and you can't really get that via a photograph on your screen. So, and most of this is all very tactile work. So to touch it is another aspect of the beauty of it. And certainly the majority of it is used for function. So if you're going to live with this work and use it, it's just, it adds to the whole experience of making a buying decision if you can actually see it and touch it.
Think about your philosophy as a shop owner. This isn't like the stocking the shelves of a store or something. Tell me about your philosophy of how this place looks.
Well, I just am very fortunate that we represent so many really talented artists. And they will bring work in, and we just try to display it to the best of our ability in here. But we're never quite sure exactly what we're going to have, but it's always very good. So we just try to keep it open and airy so that people actually can step back and look at things. We try not to get it too crowded. And we also want people to have some fun while they're in here, too.
We asked about some of the artists we've met, including Michelle Pollack, organizer of the Brown County Artists Studio Tour.
Michelle Pollack is represented here with her handmade greeting cards. She does these beautiful cards that are all hand-stitched, wonderful designs, and quite frankly, many of those that leave our shop are going to be framed in someone's home. Typically, they prefer to do that instead of use them for greeting cards because they're so lovely. So we have Michelle's work. We also have Brad Cox, a Brown County artist, and he is a metalsmith that has an awful lot of fun doing what he does. And he makes some real one-of-a-kind, unique pieces with and does a lot of welding and has a unique place in Brown County as well with a mill. Additionally, Chris Gustin's work is here. She's a weaver in the southern part of the county, out in our neck of the woods, where our studio is. She's been out there for, oh gosh, probably 16, 17 years, I think. And she does some really nice work, very well woven, lasts folks for decades, her work does, and beautiful colors. A lot of recycled work with Chris's things. And Larry Spears, you know, he's been making pots for almost 40 years. It'll actually be 40 years next year. It started out as a hobby that went astray, I suppose. And at any rate, he works primarily, he's self-taught, has done a few workshops, you know, 40 years ago, but a lot of experimentation. He builds all of his own kilns, makes all of his own glazes, and each piece he throws, you know, one at a time on a potter's wheel.
Jan Spears from Spears Gallery in Nashville, Indiana, in the rolling southern Indiana hills and home of some terrific artists. If you have people in for the holidays or are just looking for a getaway, Nashville's worth the trip.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
In our holiday season visit to Nashville, Indiana, we've been talking about the arts scene, some of the things to see there. For some who visit, the stop will include a place on the main drag, Van Buren Street, painted in bright red and white to resemble, not by coincidence, a popcorn box. The place is called Carmel Corn Cottage, and owner Jim Rispoli has one of those backstories you sometimes hear in resort towns.
Well, I had a trucking business in Chicago. About 18 years trucking, driving, and running the business. I had three or four trucks running. Ran a lot of freight. The last 7 years, I hauled piling for bridges. Have you ever seen a bridge being made? They start out with a pipe into the ground, well, 100-foot stuff to 20-foot stuff. So I did that for almost 18 years, and I decided I had to get out of the trucking business, so I bought a big motorhome, traveled around the country, did fairs and festivals for another 12 years. Every part of the country except the out east.
Selling popcorn?
No, selling anything I could sell. Last 7 years was pet supplies. And I happened to come into Nashville and seeing this is a pretty nice part of the country to live in, close enough to Chicago to visit back and forth. So we opened up the pet store, Jar's Pet Palace, we called it. Did that for 3 years and found out that once somebody buys a leash, it don't wear out. So this shop came up for sale and I bought the shop. Now it had two types of popcorns when I came into here, caramel and cheese. And I've got about 18 to 20 things in here now. So it's really became successful. We are very busy in our season. This isn't our season. But we do a lot of internet work now.
For people who haven't been here, what's Nashville like?
It's a nice small town, about 900 people, and it swells to 5 to 10,000 people in October. In October, we had lines in here every weekend. It's a fabulous business town. Fortunately, we're on the main street. The side streets don't get that many people walking through town, but it's busy, you know. November was a great month. October was the best season I ever had in town here because the weather was fabulous, and we had five Saturdays. So that makes a big difference in the town.
Aside from the business part of it, what's Nashville like as a place to visit?
There's a lot of art in this town, a lot of musicians, a lot of great singers, got a lot of guitar players. It's art capital. There's a lot to see in this town. They got a lot of hotels for a little bitty town, gigantic library, gigantic YMCA, and it's all brought here by the tourists. I think there's, about 180, 200 stores in town right now. I know when I first came to town, there was 210, so it's dropped a little bit. But that's the story of the whole country, you know. Businesses are hard to run a business nowadays, a small business, you know.
Can you just describe, help us understand, you came here, what was it that brought you here initially, and why is it that you decided to stay?
Nice part of the country, actually it's a beautiful part of the country. I could open up a business and sell stuff, and because this is what I've done. Got out of trucking completely and got into the retail end of it, you know. And it's a lot more enjoyable, like talking to people, you know. And in here you see a lot of people, you know, and that's what I enjoy. And I got some good people working for me. Got two web pages out there, so you can find us very easily. And we ship all over the country. I know this guy at the post office. He just takes it anywhere I want him to take it. Of course, he charges me money, you know.
I wondered what it was like to move to a small town like Nashville when you come from the south side of Chicago.
Back of the Yards, that's Stockyards in Chicago. I lived in Back of the Yards. That's 54th and Morgan. Okay. Chicago is a great place to raise a family, made a living there. It's kind of hard to raise a family in this part of the country because it's it's all tourists. So it's a tourist town. So 3-4 months of the year, it really slows down. But I like living out here, a small town. You know, I live a mile out of town now, got a little bitty house, had big homes in Illinois. And I got a small house in here with an acre of land and like it out here, you know. Just a fun place to live. Lots of people, you know, and not in the winter though. And the winters are not nearly as bad as they were in Chicago, you know, except for last winter, which was pretty bad, you know.
Tell me a story about living here, how it's different between here and Chicago.
Weather is completely different. The traffic is nowhere near like it was bad in Chicago. People say, oh, the traffic, when they complain about October traffic, and I can understand it, but most of the year, there's hardly any traffic in town to worry about, you know. Traffic in Chicago was, I drove the semis in Chicago, and all the expressways, it was hours from place to place. Here, it's 5-10 minutes. You want to go to Bloomington, it takes you 20 minutes to go 17 miles to go to Bloomington. If you wanted to go to a grocery store in Chicago, it would take you 20 minutes to go a mile, or something like that, you know what I'm saying? It's just so much easier lifestyle out here in the small towns.
Yeah. What are the people like?
People are very friendly. You know, it's small town politics though, but every town's got their small town politics, and the big town's got big town politics, you know, so. But it's a nice, you meet a lot of nice people in town here, you know. I know my kids at one time, they said, well, when are you coming back to Chicago when I first moved out here? Well, they start coming out here, and now they all are saying, well, when we get our lives back where we don't have this, that, and the other thing, they're going to start move out here because they like it out here. Everybody that's been out here from Chicago that I've known have said they'd like to live out here. My brother's got a place in Tinley Park, Illinois, and he pays about five times the money I pay for my home for his condo. And just a condo, and taxes are killing him out there. He'd love to sell it and come out here, but in time, and we'll see.
Black blackbird singing in the dead of...
Jim Rispoli, the 75-year-old owner of a popcorn business in Nashville, Indiana, with no intention of retiring. Rispoli, a former truck driver and trucking company owner, is part of the local color in Nashville, a place with no shortage of local flavor, popcorn included.
Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the light of a dark black night. You were only waiting for this moment.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
It's the holiday season, and along with the shopping and tourism we've been talking about, this is the time when so many New Year's resolutions are made. Many take the form of a pledge to do better somehow, to lose weight, for instance, maybe exercise more. Well, we were thinking about that the other day at Ball State's Worthen Arena, where some people go to walk laps around the concourse. Who do we meet there but former track coach Jerry Rushton, a Ball State grad who coached the men's cross-country and track teams from 1969 to 1980. His cross-country team won Ball State's first Mid-American Conference championship in that sport. Today, he still teaches courses in jogging. We talked to him partly during a brisk walk around the arena. By the way, see if you can guess his age.
So I enjoy telling students that exercise can not only add life to your years, but years to your life. And you sleep better, eat better, think better, and feel better in general. It's the cheapest form of medicine you can buy. It doesn't cost anything. So it's been important in my life, and hopefully we can get more Americans off the couch and exercising. And it doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take a lot to get your heart rate up. It doesn't have to be uncomfortably hard. It's just getting out and moving.
What's your exercise program like?
Well, this summer I was cycling 5 to 10 miles, about 6 days a week. And then lately I have been inside, and I just started a walking, a cycling program. A while ago, I went 4.30 miles on an exercise bike. So I used to do some lifting along, supplemental lifting along with my cardio, but always the cardio part has been very important.
Could you talk about your age and how exercise has helped you, you know, enjoy a quality of life?
Yeah, in June 29th, I turned 80 years old. I have had five sisters, and I only have one sister left. And I think the fact that my sisters living and I were the only ones that were on a fitness program, and she is 81. And I think that's the reason we have continued to live a pretty long, productive life, very active. And I've always been very active in terms of my own mowing my lawn and doing all kind of physical work, whether I work for Habitat, for Humanity. But it's enabled me to have a high level of energy.
Remember the tennis shoe commercial a few years ago, and their slogan was, "Just do it." The problem some people have is kind of getting motivated, don't you think? How do you help people get a plan together, and what advice would you have for people?
Well, it said the first step's the hardest, but sometimes when they see their health starting to decline, that motivates them more if they have some, you know, problems. This university is one of the few in the United States that still has a fitness wellness program, a 2-hour requirement, one of the few universities. Fortunately, because I think Ball State thinks it's very important. The students, for the most part, enjoy it. They can take a lot of different kind of aerobic activities or cardiovascular activities. But to get to some kind of activity that you enjoy, not everybody enjoys running or cycling, but aerobics, swimming, other kinds of cardiovascular activities.
Could you talk about the classes that you're teaching now? What classes do you teach, and how do you interact with the students?
I've been teaching what's called the PFW 104 jogging classes. The students, I think, are very receptive. I think when they see you, you're 80 years old and you're in this kind of shape. We were doing recently 50 push-ups, 75 sit-ups, and I think the fact that I do them with them is somewhat inspiring, I hope, but it's pretty well received by the students. And one reason I came back to teach, I enjoy the student and motivate them to be fit. And a lot of them, I think, leave the class and express appreciation that they will carry on their fitness level.
Just so I understand, you can do 50 push-ups and 75 sit-ups?
Yeah, right. You know, I've been doing that part of my exercise routine regularly.
Were you always a fitness buff, or did you?
Well, I ran track and cross country in high school and in college. And one time my weight got up to about 175. Like right now, I weigh 150. And I wasn't feeling good. So I started jogging. And then I got motivated to run the Boston Marathon in 1972. I qualified. And since then, I felt like it was important. And fortunately, I'm in a situation where it's a little easier to do when you're teaching the classes or you can go down to the fitness center. But you still have to be motivated and disciplined to do it all the time.
Jerry Rushton, still teaching physical fitness at Ball State 46 years after coming to the school as a track and cross-country coach. At age 80, he's a walking, make that a fast walking, advertisement for the youth prolonging effects of regular exercise. He looks great, and maybe that's some good encouragement for the rest of us preparing our next round of New Year's resolutions. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time, and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.